Bibles, please turn to Judges chapter 8. And Gideon and his army of 300 have surprised the massive Midianite army. And now those that were not slain in the confusion are on the run. And Gideon has sent messengers to Ephraim, and they've captured and slain two of the princes of Midian and delivered their heads to Gideon. That's proof of death, I guess. But when they do come, they're not rejoicing in the victory that God is giving, and not coming with congratulations, but rather they're coming with anger and strife. Now, Gideon handles this contention in an excellent way, and tonight I want us to examine some principles for us to learn in handling contention in our lives. There will be conflict in your life. Conflict is either going to be a hindrance or a help, and it really depends on how you handle it. So we're just going to look at the first three verses of Judges chapter 8 tonight. And if you would, please stand and honor the reading of God's word. Judges chapter 8, starting at verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Two simple points I want us to see tonight. First, we're going to observe the reason for the contention in verse 1. The reason for the contention, and really the reason for any contention. And then secondly, we're going to study the resolve of the contention in verses 2 and 3. You and I need to learn to handle contention in a godly manner and make it a help and not a hindrance in our lives. So let's look to the Lord for guidance, please. Father, again, I thank you for the example of Gideon, and I pray now as we examine this passage tonight, Lord, that each of us would be reminded how important it is to deal properly with contention that comes in life. And Lord, may we not be the contentious one. But Lord, when others are contentious, may we learn to deal with it in a proper biblical fashion. And we pray now for your wisdom and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The reason for contention. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So, we could say then and summarize this whole thing, why is there contention here? Because of their pride. You see, they thought Gideon was not fair. Well, Gideon, why didn't you call us when you went to the battle of the Midianites? Gideon could have asked them, why didn't you volunteer? Because remember, he sent out messengers and he had certain tribes volunteer. Where was Ephraim? You see, their pride wanted credit for it. Well, why didn't you call us? I mean, we wanted to be there. We wanted to be part of this. And so often we look at others and what God is doing in others' life and we say, well, I want to be part of that. I want the credit for they're getting for that. Instead of rejoicing that God has for them to get the credit for it. But truthfully, does not God deserve the credit for all things anyhow? Now I want you to look at this. Why didn't you call us, Gideon? It says they chided with him sharply. We'll look at that in just a moment. But the quarrel then truly was against God, because did not God call Gideon to be the leader? Yes, he did. Is it not God who told Gideon, your army is too big? Start sending them home, and had tests in which whittled down his army down to 300. Is it not God who gave the instructions of how to fight this battle? Okay, then if God is the one directing Gideon, and they come and question then Gideon, are they not indirectly questioning God? So their contention really is against not Gideon, but why did God do it this way? And Christian, I want to drive that point home, because so often we are not careful in the contention we have with others, especially if it's a brother or sister in Christ or somebody in authority that God has placed there. We need to be careful that we are not being contentious truly against God's leader there. For instance, let's look at a couple examples here. In 1 Timothy, Paul says, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." But why is it that sometimes when people want to gossip about the preacher or gossip about a deacon or gossip about a Sunday school teacher, that people are so quick to listen to it and want to, "Oh, well, that must be truth because so-and-so said so." I will say this has happened to me, and it's happened to many other preachers, where somebody gets disgruntled about something, and then instead of just trying to resolve it properly, they go prayer requesting to everybody else about it, and everybody else is looking at the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or whatever, and like, "Why did you do that?" when they never really even did that. But if somebody had misunderstood or whatever the case may be, but then people will just believe because so-and-so said so. Listen, we need to be careful not to listen to the gossip and not to listen to contentious people. And if there truly is a problem, let's take it to leadership and deal with it properly. But God also warns us about government leadership. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them to do well." In other words, again, we need to submit to the authority God has ordained. Now, do I think some of the rules that we have in our land are ridiculous? Yes. Do I submit to them anyhow? Yes. As long as they don't contradict this word, I am commanded to. And remember, when Peter wrote these words, Rome was in charge, and you know, it wasn't having the freedom that we enjoy, but he still said, "Submit yourselves." So we need to be careful with our quarrels and with our contention against leadership. Now, this next point is somewhat speculation, but I want you to hear me out on this, please. The contention could have been rooted in deep resentment. You say, how's that? Okay, Ephraim was, remember Ephraim and Manasseh, right? Which one was older? Manasseh, very good. Which one received the blessing, the double blessing, the larger blessing? Ephraim did. And now Ephraim's the one that's complaining, and Gideon is from the tribe of Manasseh. You see, sometimes when God blesses, we start to get the arrogant attitude of God can't bless anybody else. And so how dare Gideon of the tribe of Manasseh be blessed of God and have led this battle and left Ephraim, the one who's supposed to have the big blessing, left out? Now, the Bible doesn't say that specifically, but you do understand there seems to always be kind of this contention between Ephraim and Manasseh. And it seems to be deeply rooted in the fact that the descendants of Manasseh were always jealous that they didn't get what they thought was rightfully theirs. Now, sometimes, Christian, we're just as guilty. We get jealous over the accomplishments of another, or get jealous over the blessing that God gives to another, instead of rejoicing and following the words of Romans 12:15 that says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that do weep," and being thankful when God blesses somebody else. Too often we're just like this. We get jealous. "Well, God, why did you bless them and not me? I'm serving you after all, Lord. Why am I not getting the blessings as they're getting?" And are we not brothers and sisters in Christ, and should we not be rejoicing when God blesses another? Proverbs 18:19, "A brother offended is hard to be won, harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." We need to be careful in our dealing with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're not contentious in what we do and creating a barrier between them and us. Now, the Bible does speak the truth, yes. The problem is so many things just stop right there, and they speak the truth very harshly to others. But the Bible doesn't stop there. It says, speak the truth in love. And we tend to forget that in love part. We're good about speaking the truth, and I don't care whose feelings I hurt, bless God, I'm going to just speak the truth, and you're just going to have to get a straw and suck it up. That's not the attitude God wants us to have. He says, speak the truth in love. But also, as I said, the contention was sharp. It says, they chided with him sharply. In other words, they were against him, and they were forceful and violent, is the idea of being sharp. Forceful or violently coming at him. Okay, now, I've met people like this, and I don't understand those that come to an authority real harshly, real angry, and expect them to listen and give sympathy to their cause. Have you ever seen that? I've seen this several times here recently. When Brother Mike Speciale had his town hall meeting, there were some that came, and when they went to ask a question, they started screaming and yelling at him and everything else. And he's like, so if you have a question, I'll be more than happy to answer it. But if you just came to yell and scream, then I'm going to ask you to have to sit down, you know. And I mean, he handled it very well. But somehow they thought screaming at him was going to accomplish something. The same thing when they were doing the redistricting, people going in there and just yelling and cussing and screaming at these legislators. It's like, do you really think that's somehow making your point better? Well, think about what Ephraim is doing. They're coming to Gideon sharply the same way they're coming to him like, how dare you, Gideon? Why do sometimes we think that that's somehow going to get the point across? When Daniel went to the prince of the eunuchs, he didn't say, hey, here's what you're going to do for me, bud. He went and requested. Now, he had determined in his heart he was not going to eat the king's meat. It was not going to happen. And he didn't go to the prince of the eunuchs and say, you know what? I've determined in my heart I'm not going to do it, so I don't care. You can't make me. It sounds very childish. By the way, we do sound as childish when we do that type of thing. But he said, I request of you, don't make me eat the king's meat, please. And God gave him favor in the sight of the prince of the eunuchs. Now he was concerned. So Daniel then offers a solution. He says, okay, give me a week. Test me for a week. Let us eat the vegetables for a week, and then you can look on us. And if we look all sickly and nasty and everything else, then we can discuss it again. But if we look good, then let's this agreement stand. Sometimes, you see, when we come to them with a request, then they're going to ask us, well, how can we fulfill this request? Now we have opportunity to present what we wanted in the first place. But you come with an arrogant attitude, people aren't going to listen. 2 Timothy 2 tells us, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Think of if Gideon had mishandled this situation, how contention could divide. And we see in Acts 15 how contention divided. The Bible again says there was contention between Paul and Barnabas, and it does use these very words. The contention was sharp, so sharp that they parted ways. Now God got the glory from that and still used it to have two missionary teams going out. But understand, there was a contention between Paul and Barnabas, and these two brothers in Christ were not able to get this thing resolved between them. So we've seen the reason for contention. Now let's look secondly at the response to contention. And he said to them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? Is not what you guys have done, the gleaning of the grapes, the fact that you have killed off these princes, better than what we did? We just stood around and blew a bunch of trumpets. Held our lights up. Think about it. Gideon gave a soft answer. As Proverbs 15:1 tells us, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Gideon did not become defensive, because Proverbs 26:20 tells us, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You know, we've all built a fire before. You want to keep the fire going, you got to have wood in the fire. Take out the wood without the fire, you're not going to have much of a fire. And, you know, you can't just have one log. You put two together and they'll keep each other hot, keep each other burning, right? So it is with contention. Most people are not willing to argue with themselves. Now, I have met a few. But most people are not willing to argue with themselves. So if you don't fight back, it ends the fight. He gave a soft answer. He didn't fight back. But not only was Gideon's answer a soft answer, but Gideon's answer was a peaceful answer. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 16:32, but he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rolleth his own spirit than he that taketh a city. You see, you and I need to learn to act and not react. Way too often, and when there's strife, we tend to react to what is done to us versus acting. And Gideon, in this case here, was following very godly principles in that he did not react to them coming and attacking him, because he could have been like, I'm the leader. Who do you think you are? God put me here. What's your problem? But he didn't react to them, but he thought about it and acted in a proper fashion. So it is when you and I have strife. The problem is way too quick. Many of us have a problem of the mouth engages long before the brain does. We need to learn to keep that mouth in neutral until the brain's had time to process it. Because once the words are out, you can't catch them back. And the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me, is the dumbest phrase somebody ever came up with, because every one of us been hurt more deeply by words. And I'll tell you what, there's times things have been said to me, I would rather take a slap on the face. So Gideon spoke with a soft answer. He spoke with a peaceful answer. And then he gave a truthful answer. Look at verse 3. God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. He gives the praise to God to whom it belongs. And then he gives them credit for their accomplishments, which brings us then to the next part of this. Gideon responded with a humble answer. Again, he didn't say, I'm the God called leader, how dare you question me? But he said, you know what? You have done so much more than I have. What have I done in comparison to you guys? Look at you actually are the ones that killed these princes. I just stood there and blew a trumpet. You guys did so much more than I did. What a humble answer. Christian, may I say, so much more can be accomplished if we stop caring who gets the credit for it. But when everybody wants to take the credit and make sure I'm the one that gets the credit for it, nothing ever gets accomplished. I'll give you an illustration. This happened last year at this time, actually, because we're coming up at Chili Fest, and I was reminded of this. Last year, Hurricane Matthew blew through, and Kinston was all flooded. Remember that? Chief Magnuson, our chief of police, and Frank Bonneroff, our city manager, decided we were going to do something as Havelock to help those affected by Hurricane Matthew. So they thought of this kind of last minute, and Chief called me and said, hey, we want to do something. I think what we're going to end up doing is we're going to have a collection, and people can give stuff, and then we're going to make sure it gets to the flood victims. Okay? Well, so I was asked to man a trailer that they put over there at the Chili Festival, and we had people donating all kinds of stuff. Now, they really didn't know how we were going to get it to the flood victims just yet. But then we had individuals who I will not mention their names. Okay, I mentioned those two because they deserve credit for trying to do something right, okay? But I will say, people at different levels of government, city government, county government, started sticking their nose in, and they wanted to make sure they got the credit for this project they didn't even think of. And they wanted to make sure they had control of where the stuff was going to go. And they wanted to make sure they had all these things because they wanted to make sure, I did it. Look at me. Everybody can look at me, what I did. It wasn't even their idea in the first place. And everybody stuck their nose in to where the stuff, I don't think, ever actually got to the flood victims. But if everybody said, you know what, I don't care who gets credit. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Chief Magnuson, for coming up with this idea. Let's just make sure it gets to them. We could have had that stuff delivered right to the flood victims personally, because remember, New Testament Baptist Church was taking stuff directly to the flood victims. But because it became a political issue and everybody wanted credit to make sure I get seen for what I've done, it never got to them. Now, how often does that happen in Christianity? Because people are too concerned about getting the credit instead of letting God have the credit who deserves it anyhow. Things don't get accomplished because if I can't do it my way, we're not going to do it. I am so glad Gideon wasn't that way. But he said, you know what, guys? You did a wonderful job. You did so much better than I did. You see, Gideon held others higher than self. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. He praises them for their work in the battle. So if you and I have a conflict and we start praising the one that wants this conflict, that certainly helps diffuse it, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. They're coming to him and they're all angry, all bristled up. Brr, I'll tell you what, Gideon, how dare you? And he starts telling them how wonderful they are. And they're like, yeah, yeah, as a matter of fact, we are, aren't we? You know? How often could you and I diffuse an argument the same way? You see, the end of verse 3 says, then their anger was abated toward him when he said that. I mean, who doesn't like to be told how great a job they did? And when he starts praising them how great a job they did, all of a sudden they're no longer angry at Gideon, but they're all happy with, yeah, we did do a good job, didn't we? Now, it still kind of goes along with their pride issue, yes, but it's certainly better than the anger that they came at him initially, right? At least he diffused the situation, because remember, they're still in a battle, and what would have happened if Gideon had handled this in appropriate manner? It could have created more trouble, because now, instead of focusing on the common enemy who's not completely destroyed yet, they would have contention among their own army. Not a good way to go to battle and fight. But too often, Christian, this very thing happens. We're in the middle of a battle. We are in a spiritual war. And instead of focusing on the common enemy, we start shooting each other. We start criticizing each other. We start tearing each other down instead of realizing that our enemy is sitting there laughing at us because we're sitting here fighting ourselves. You know, it's sad that independent Baptists have had the name in years gone by as the fighting fundamentalists. It's sad that things have been said of us that we're the only group that takes target practice standing in circles. But it is true. It still happens today. There are some preachers you come to, well, what camp you in? Well, I like to camp, but I camp in a tent. I mean, you know, what do you mean, what camp am I in? What school did you graduate from? Well, I graduate from Ambassador. Well, we don't associate with Ambassador. We only associate with whatever. By the way, there's Ambassador students who do that very thing as well. I don't play that game. You know why? Because we're all on the same team. And it's time we start acting like it. Kind of like the different branches of service. You know, we always pick on the Air Force. But, you know, we truly do love them, and we understand that they have a purpose. And we do it just in jest. But the truth is, it's kind of funny, because we all know every branch of the service has a purpose. And we all understand we're all brothers in arms. And we all understand if we were in the heat of battle that we're all going to stand together. But we love to jest with one another, right? The problem is way too often Christians aren't jesting with one another. Because, okay, I'm joking with Tim and Kristen, because Tim is an ambassador grad and she's a Bob Jones grad. I said, oh, he had to go to Egypt to find a wife. And she laughed and we laughed and we knew it was all a joke, okay? But there's some who really treat Bob Jones that way. You know, oh, how dare you find a wife at Bob Jones? That's Egypt. It's sad. They're not the enemy. Are there things about that college I disagree with? Yes, but there's things about ambassador I disagree with. Yes, I said that out loud. When we're fighting with each other, we're no longer focused on the common enemy, and we're no longer effective for Christ. And we've become an embarrassment to the army of Christ. I am glad Gideon was a godly leader who quickly understood how out of control this situation could have gotten and diffused it. That Gideon didn't let his pride get in the way. That Gideon didn't become contentious back toward them. But Gideon handled the contention in a godly fashion and gave a soft answer, a peaceful answer, a truthful answer, a humble answer. He esteemed others better than himself, and he handled it in an appropriate fashion so as to diffuse the situation quickly. Those are principles, Christian, you and I need to apply in conflict in our lives. Because conflict is going to come. But if we don't respond the way Gideon did, but we fight back, we've only compounded the problem. You look around our society today, it seems to be the norm to always have to be right. Gideon didn't care who was right, who got the credit. He just needed this problem set aside so he can focus on the bigger problem. We still got Midianites on the run. We're not done a battle yet. We've got to get them before they escape. Sometimes being right doesn't matter. Sometimes what matters more is let's get this set aside so we can focus on the bigger problem at hand. Now, I don't know if he came back to him and dealt with him later. And I'm not saying we just always just push things aside. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we're very easily distracted by petty things. I mean, really, how petty? In the middle of a war, why didn't you call us sooner? Well, we called you when we needed you, and God used you greatly. Why are you upset? Well, I wanted to have more recognition. You know, when I was in school, I talked to other guys in school, and even out now, every preacher had in his mind, you know, he's going to be pastoring a real large church. Every evangelist has in their mind that they're going to be the one that God uses to bring a great revival to this country. Sometimes God has to knock us off our high horse and say, you know what, I just want you to be faithful no matter where I put you. Ephraim needed knocked off their high horse. Yes, God had blessed them. Yes, they did receive the double portion. But you know what? It was time for God to use one from the tribe of Manasseh. And they should have just been saying, thank you, Lord, for using Gideon. Thank you for the faithfulness of Gideon. And so when you and I see others that appear to be greatly used of God, and it seems like where we have been called to serve seems so small, let's rejoice and say, Lord, thank you for using them. Thank you for blessing them. And thank you for giving me the area of service that you've given me. Help me to be faithful with what you've given me to do. Ephraim came to Gideon looking for a fight. They came contentious, but Gideon responded in such a manner as to diffuse the situation. So how do you handle conflict? Again, I'll go through real quickly. He responded with a soft answer. He responded with a peaceful answer, learning to act, not react. He gave a truthful answer, speaking the truth, yes, but the truth in love. He gave a humble answer. Don't try to always prove yourself right, but acknowledge what others have done. He held others higher than self, and he handled it in an appropriate manner so as to quickly diffuse the situation. If we apply those principles, Christian, then conflict in life can become a help and not a hindrance. Let's deal with conflict in a godly fashion. Let's bow forward to prayer.